Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay, so in another sense of terrible embarrassment that I have teaching before Professor Rosenzweig, so Shilik had this packet that you needed for the entire time, like everything was prepared in advance from week one all the way through week six. So, yeah, I just don't function that way. So it's like we're sort of going along. We're learning together as we go through. We prepare a week at a time. I'm grateful that as I walk in here at 9:30 that I have that week's prepared. So the sheets are a little bit not quite as organized. So what I did is we didn't get finished with last week's sheet, and we're not going to finish with what I did today. So what I handed out is a combination. You see it starts on the bottom of page 2. And it goes through page 5. Last week, you already had page 2 and 3 in your handouts, but we didn't get to everything. But I didn't want to not give you 2 and 3 and only give you 4 and 5 because we're going to be doing 2 and 3. I didn't make sure that everybody had it. So anyway, so it's going to be, you're going to end up with like 13 different packets, and maybe at the end we'll put together one full complete package of everything that we need. But just as a disclaimer, so if you didn't even get a packet today, I think I made enough, but if not, we're the first little bit. We'll see how far we get. Okay, so session three of our discussion of Shabbos. I feel like now that we've had a couple of times together, we could we could start with a Hasidisha story. That's okay. We know each other a little bit. So there was once an itinerant peddler in the days of Europe, in Eastern Europe, who would go around from town to town, and he would try to sell his meager wares. And one day, as he's schlepping around from one town to the next, towards the evening, a terrible storm breaks out right as he's in between towns in the middle of a forest. And it's windy and it's cold and it's snowy, and he just tries to take a little bit of cover, and his fingers are burning as from the cold, as they're falling off in frostbite, and it's a biting wind. And he totally loses the path. The snow is coming down so fast. The path that he's on is totally covered. He gets all turned around, and he was looking for... He doesn't know where to go. He's lost. He's frozen. It's windy. It's cold. And as he begins wandering in the forest, just as he's about to collapse, he sees off in the distance a flickering light. He says, somebody has to be there, a person. And he musters up his last reserve of strength, and he trudges his way towards the light. And just as he gets there, he sees it's a traveler's inn, and he literally falls through the door. And they grab him, and they put him in front of the fire, and they give him a hot soup and a coffee and a bed to rest. And in the morning, he wakes up, and it's still bitter cold, but they point him, and they say, the next town, yeah, go this way, and you'll be able to get there. And filled with the warmth and the food and the direction that he was given, he has what it takes to get to the next town. So the Hasidim used to say, all week long, we're in this terrible storm. We don't know where we're going. We lose our direction. We can't see our right from our left. And just as we're about to totally lose consciousness and be swallowed up in the craziness of life, there's a flicker of light out in the distance. And Shabbos is coming. And you burst into that door. You literally collapse into Shabbos with no strength left, no direction, nothing. And there's a warmth and there's a fire. And there's some food and a little bit of soup and direction to the next week. And somebody can point to you as you wake up in the morning and say, like, okay, it's Sunday morning. This is what you got to do to get to the next town. And you'll be able to do so. And every week there's just a little bit of light, a little bit of in the midst of the storm, something to try to get you from town to town, week to week, and being able to manage. Okay, that's like, I could just go home after that, right? That's just so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Okay, the value and power of a story is enormous. Okay, let's do a quick review of where we are up to. We started source number 5. We went through the 3 major psukim from the beginning of Shabbos Bereishis, Vayechulu Hashamayim Vaharetz. We discussed at length Vayechulu has two separate alternate opposite meanings of Vayechal is to complete and Tichle is to destroy. And we're first pointing out that you have to, if you want to focus on anything, you want to complete something, you have to sort of push aside everything else. And the malacha that Hashem was doing, like a malach, directed, purposeful, and Vayechal Bayoim HaShvi'i was on the 7th day that he completed. Rashi told us, on the one hand, it like literally went right up to Shabbos, and in the second explanation, Rashi told us that it meant that he actually did complete it on the 7th day, because the 7th day also was creative. What was created on the 7th day menucha, the idea of rest. And we began to discuss that as well. Refers in his beautiful language, described how in a natural order, there's no stopping of anything. It's the fact that Hashem stopped creation. The fact that there was a active, I'm no longer going to create, is what teaches that there was a creator. What would allow for someone to say there was a natural process is it just kept on going. The fact that there's a vayishbos, there's a rest, a vayichulu, I'm done, I'm finished, is actually what testifies that there was somebody who was in charge until that point, and therefore it's in the Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i. It was in the fact that there was a cessation, a coming to rest, a stopping that manifests itself. And the Medrash that we said last week, that just like, this is Rav Pinkus's idea, that just like when Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, the Medrash describes there was not a bird that flapped its wing, there was not an animal that brayed, the waves in the ocean didn't roll, it was totally shoves, it was totally shoseko machrish, it was total silence, and from that silence came the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So in the same way, Rav Pinkus says, that's what really what Shabbos is, when there's a vayichulu, when everything comes to a rest, when everything comes to a stop, when there's no creative activity, so when everything stops, as we said, what do you hear in your house? When everything is silent, when everything is quiet, that's when you hear all the creaks. They were always there. You can't hear the hum of the air conditioner over all the noise that goes on in our life. And all week, that storm gives so much noise. There's so much distraction. There's so many things that take us away from what we want to be focused on. When everything is shovesu macharish, when you light those candles on Friday night, and there's like a silent. The oven is off. The phones are off. There's nothing. In that silence, you can hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That concept, which we began again just discussing last week, introducing, is the source of this idea that when there's that silence and you can feel the presence of Hashem, because without the distractions, it's there. That's the Vayichulu and the Vayishbos. When we testify, when everything stops, it's I'm here. It's in the stopping of everything else that Hashem's presence comes out, that we have this the brilliance, so to speak, the power of Shabbos is in that. So what I want to do is I want to continue developing that. We haven't finished the psukim yet. We have a very important series of psukim in the original Vayichulu, but I want to introduce that with another series, with another Gemara. I'd like to start off with a medrash, a little bit of a piece of Haggadah, as we frame our discussion. So what I'd like to start with is on page 4, source number 14. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. If you don't have it, just share it with a friend sitting next to you. Source number 14. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm sure you, many of you have probably heard this over the years. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches us the following. Amra Shabbos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos says, complains really before Hashem. Ribono shel olam, lechulan yesh ben zug. Everyone has a pair. Everyone has a partner. I am the only one. Veli ein ben zug. I don't have a partner. It's not fair. What Shabbos is complaining about? Just in a pashut level, he's talking about the 6 days of creation. The 6 days of creation. He says everyone has a pair. Day 1 was Or V'choshech, and day 4 was the sun and the moon. Day 2 was earth, water above and below, and day 5 was earth was separated from the oceans. And day 6, and the fish of the seas were created. And day 6 was dry land, day 3 was dry land, and day 6 was the animals that populated the dry land. Every day has a partner, 1, 4, 2, 5, 3, 6. I'm the only one, I'm the odd man out. It's an odd number of days, 7. What's with me? Where do I fit in? Says Shabbos to the Ribono Shel Olam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael, hi ben zugei. What are you worried about? The Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to be your partner. V'kevon sha'amdu Yisrael lefnei Har Sinai. Meanwhile, when does Shabbos complain? Shabbos complains, I would assume that would be on right after creation. Knesset Yisrael doesn't stand at Har Sinai for another 2,000 years. So when Klal Yisrael stands at Har Sinai, Orm Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zichru Adovar Shomarti L'Shabbos, as you're debating, we're going to take the Torah, we're not going to take the Torah. Remember, we had that whole discussion. They said, give me an example. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you Shabbos as an example that there's an Olam Haba waiting for you. So when Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, remember what I told Shabbos. Knesset Yisrael, he ben zugeich. I told Shabbos about you. Now you need to step up. Stand under the chuppah. I promised Shabbos that you were going to be its partner. Hainu dibur zachor es Shabbos es yom Shabbos lekadosh. Right? And the Medrash is twisted. Zachor es yom Shabbos lekadosh was a mitzvah to us to remember Shabbos. So the Medrash is saying it like Hashem is saying to us, zachor, remember I promised Shabbos it was going to be you. So now take your place. Take your place. Okay, what jumps out at you? Yes?
It seems like there's two different packets.
There are several. There are three, actually. It was from session one and session two and session three. Today's packet begins, it's only two pages. It begins with page two on the bottom and ends with page five. That was the packet.
Oh, so do you have extra copies?
I'm willing to give you mine.
No. Sorry, I didn't realize
it was the third packet. That's it. Is there enough?
If you send me copies, I can make copies of it.
I can't do that. But if somebody wants to give it, correct. So the Medrash is playing on that language of like saying to Klaus, remember what I promised Shabbos. Yeah, that's the side of Zachar only right now. We're going to talk at length about Zachar v'Shamar. What strikes you about this Medrash? There's something extremely unique. I don't use the word odd, but unique about such a medrash. Nothing? I'll give you a hint. How many midrashim do you know, statements from the Gemara, from Chazal, in which the mitzvah of matzah complains to Hashem about something? How many midrashim do you know in which the mitzvah of tefillin complained to Hashem? Do you know any other mitzvah, any other medrash that describes any mitzvah as having a personality?
It's not a mitzvah, but the Shemesh and the
Yarech. Okay, but a mitzvah. Do we have any other mitzvah complaining? So this Medrash puts a personality to Shabbos. And not just any stam personality. What's the personality that we're given here?
Jealous.
Okay, a little bit of a crowd. Jealous? Lonely?
Needy.
Like, where's my partner? Now, besides for all that, but you're missing the most basic, besides for the kvetch, needy, what type of person are we talking about? Like a
relationship.
Excellence. I don't know whether or not we talk about as a wife or as a queen, but there's a relationship of where's my partner? To which Hashem says, you're going to have one. Don't worry. It's coming. That's Klal Yisrael is going to be your partner, so that there's a nature of a relationship. It's a person. There's a person here who is speaking. Now that might not have jumped out at you because we're actually familiar with this unique aspect of Shabbos, which is unique. We do not treat Pesach this way. We do not treat Talos and Tefillin. We don't. We don't treat mitzvahs in such a form. But Shabbos, we do. Where else do we treat Shabbos this way? We greet it. Excellent. We greet Shabbos. Kabbalas Shabbos.
And we escort
it out. Excellent. And we escort it out. Both of those are treating Shabbos like a person. Take a look at source 15, just to show you this inside.
And like a female, like you said.
Correct. We find it in different, like a queen. Yilbash, Shulchan Aruch writes, Yilbash bigadov hanoim. When Shabbos comes, you have to change your clothing. You wear nice clothing. V'yismach. Bevia Shabbos ki yotze likras ha-melech. You have to go out. You have to rejoice when Shabbos comes. The way you would rejoice to greet a king. We'll see. They're different. Sometimes we call a king, a queen, male, female. That's a whole other discussion, which we may or may not touch on. But right now, we're just discussing it as a person. Uche yotze likras chosan v'kala. The way you would go out to greet a chosan and kala. I won't make jokes about in certain types of population where they wear their Shabbos robes to weddings. But obviously, that's how you go out to greet a chassan and kala. That's how you greet Shabbos. Yantiv what? Yeah, I'm saying, is there such a thing called Kabbalas Yantiv? Like, do we have a tefillah? Do we have a concept? There is not. It's a Shabbos thing of getting dressed, v'yismach, to go out. Not like we collapse into Shabbos, which was that story, Hasidish story that we started with. To get dressed up, to greet a king, or to greet a chassan and a kala. The Rebbe Chanina ma'atei v'koy bepanya d'mal Shabbos. He's quoting from the Gemara. The Rebbe Chanina used to get all dressed up on Erev Shabbos. Va'amar bo'i v'neitzei l'kras Shabbos malkasa. Let's go out and greet the Shabbos queen. And Rebbe Yanai would say, bo'i kala, bo'i kala. Which is familiar from Lechadodi. Lechadodi was written in the early Middle Ages. Late Middle Ages, and it was taking off on these Gemaras. The Gemaras came way before that of treating Shabbos like a kala. Get dressed up, and there's no other mitzvah that we do this. And at the end of Shabbos, just very briefly, Star 16, you see the same idea. Li'olam yisader adam shulchano b'motzo'e Shabbos. You have to arrange your table, set your table on Motzei Shabbos. Why? Kedei l'lavos es ha-Shabbos. In order to escort out the Shabbos queen. You don't need to eat, but you set your table. And Malava Malka is not just because some organization's running an event, so they make a Malava Malka. Malava Malka, every le'olam. How does the Shulchan Aruch begin that phrase? Le'olam, which means, always, every Shabbos, you have a Kabbalah Shabbos, and you have a Malava Malka. You're escorting out the queen. The Rama writes, Mishnah Berurah, excuse me, the Kishem Shetzarech L'Chabed HaShabbos B'Chnisasa, in the same way that we honor Shabbos as she comes in, Kain Tzarech L'Chabdo B'Yitziyasa, you have to be Mechabed Shabbos on her way out. Kishem Sho'adam Milava Es HaMelech B'Tzeiso Minair. The king comes to your house for Shabbos. He says, okay, it's time to go. Great. And you run to the television. You don't even see him out the door. It's nice seeing you. I'll see you next week. I got to check my emails because in Israel, Shabbos has been over for 6 hours. Who knows what I've missed? How do you not escort your guest out at the end of a Shabbos that you just had somebody stay with you? So in the same way as you bring her in, so too you have to take her out. Therefore, it's best to have the Malava Malka early. It should be right after Shabbos, not 11:30 at night. Oh, I forgot. Malava Malka is. I'm reading the bottom of source 16. And even if you're not hungry to eat, mehanachon shelo yasuk b'malacha, you shouldn't do any malacha until you have a Malava Malka. There are those the pious Jews would be makbid not to change out of their Shabbos clothes until have a Malava Malka. You don't change. You escort the Shabbos out first. Sit down. I set your table. You sit down. You have a Malava Malka. My grandfather Zichrono Levracha went through the war in Europe. He was in the Hungarian slave army camps. He was taken by the Hungarians 2 years before the Nazis came in, which is what saved his life because he was not home when the Nazis came and murdered the entire town. So he used to tell me that throughout the war years. He always saved a crumb of whatever he had on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos, for Malava Malka. And he used to darshan, we say by Yaakov when he had his dream, Sulam Mutzav Arza. The ladder was Mutzav Arza, is rooted in the ground, V'rosho Magia Hashamayma, but its head was reaching the heavens. So he used to darshan, Sulam is Samach Lamed Mem. So Sudas Malava Malka, Sudas Levayas Malka, Sulam, Sudas Levayas Malka, the Sud of escorting out the king. It's Mutzav Arza. It's like, what, a little bit of bread, you sit down, who's hungry, who wants to eat? It's Mutzav Arza, but Rosho, its head is Magia Shamayma. You're familiar, I'm sure, I didn't bring it in the sources, Mishnah Berurah brings, you know, from the luz bone, that which is going to sustain you when in the Mos HaMashiach after Tchias HaMesim is from the food that a person eats at the Malava Malka. There's a lot of discussion about that. But I have to tell you, it's a source of great guilt. You know, like, so like, I'm not talking about like 500 years ago. I'm talking like my grandfather, passed away 10 years ago now, like 10, 15 years ago. Like, went through the war years and saved something from Lava Malka. And I'm like, I don't want to eat. It's like so hard to sit down and have a meal, and wash, and eat a little bit on a Motzei Shabbos. It's so difficult. But Chazal talk, I'll get in a second. Chazal talk about it as, if you're going to bring in the queen, you're going to throw her out? when Shabbos is over. That's not how we do things. You bring somebody in and you escort them out. So there's a Kabbalah Shabbos and there's a Malava Malkin. That's how we do things. Yes.
But why wouldn't it be okay to let them stay a little and do it as we?
Okay, because it'd be nice to have Shabbos all week long, right? Because we're not there. Because Shabbos leaves. She's leaving. And I was like, we don't determine when the king comes and goes. Like, the king comes, and then the king says, I'm leaving. So you escort her out. And I said, we'd like it to be Shabbos all week long, but we can't. So and it's Shabbos, if we would delay the king's arrival, we'd give her another 10 minutes. But no, she's here. So we've got to be ready.
But isn't the answer to that also a little bit of, because you're bringing lunch, like you're bringing a little bit of Shabbos into the week. Like that's a little bit.
Meaning we learned last week you have to be mosif ala chol, you have to make part of the weekday into a little bit, we delay it, but Shabbos says I'm going. Yeah.
On 16 that you read?
Yeah.
The big print above,
yeah.
The last two words says, afilu eino tarich ela halakazayis.
Even if you don't want to eat a small little olives amount, but you still need to set your table, yeah. And you set and you wash.
Somebody years ago told me that if you don't want to eat anything, whatever the reason, a Dvar Torah counts as shalosh.
Yeah, there's a discussion about that.
Is it a discussion about that?
My grandfather, once I'm quoting my Zaydin once said, you know why he doesn't like to rely on that? Because he says, if I would tell you the Dvar Torah and you slug me up and you tell him that I'm wrong, then I haven't fulfilled Shalosh Shodas.
But another point about Shabbat with the clothing. This week I was first time in about 15 years in Florida. So we went once a Shabbat to this dairy.
I'm doing it at the end.
I'm wearing a Becca
shirt. Okay, I always run out of time. I want to.
Okay.
Let's get going. Okay. All of this idea of treating Shabbos like a person. The idea that Shabbos complains. Shabbos says, who's my partner? The idea that we're mechabed her when she comes. The idea that we're malava her when we're out, which we do not do for any other mitzvah. We don't do that for Yontif, not Yom Kippur. There is no concept of that. Is a manifestation of where we started last week, that when the olam is shoves u'macharish, when everything becomes silent, when Hashem manifests himself by saying, I stopped creation, and now when I stop, and we then experience that, testify to that, the presence of Hashem becomes like that hum of the air conditioner in the background that we might not have noticed, and it's here. And so there's this dynamic of when Vayishbos Bayom HaShvi'i, when Hashem manifests himself in the world by stopping creation, we then do that, experience that stopping of creation, so to speak, his presence becomes revealed in the world in a different way. So it's when we're being malava, it's not just a mitzvah that we're being malava. We literally talk about bringing Hashem's presence into the world, and so we treat it in a very personal kind of way in which I want to be mechabed. What are you being mechabed? The mitzvah of Shabbos, not the mitzvah of Shabbos. I'm being mechabed the concept that Hashem's presence is in this world in a deeper, more intense way, because we're testifying to that by stopping everything that we do, and we hear it, we sense it, we feel it, and so we treat it that way. It's analogous to the difference between fulfilling a mitzvah and going to the Beis HaMikdash, liros p'nei hashchina. If we lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, even what we could do today, with a destroyed Beis HaMikdash. So you could say, I put on talis and tefillin this morning, I ate kosher, whatever it is he did, and I went to the Beis HaMikdash. Are they one is fulfilling a command, and one is going to visit your father. They're not the same. They're not on the same level of when you fulfill the mitzvah of Re'ias Pnei Hashchina on Yontif, and you'd go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you bring your karbon. So it's not like, okay, I did a mitzvah yesterday, I ate matzah, and I went to the Beis HaMikdash. You ate matzah, it's beautiful. You did the mitzvah. Going to see Hashem in his house is different. Shabbos is a semblance of that. We're going to see a lot of connections between the Beis HaMikdash and of Shabbos, and it's all because of that. Okay, all of that is an introduction. We got to finish the first three psukim of Vayechulu, and then we got to get to our next series of psukim. Okay, so what we left off on the last section that we need to cover is, again, back on source number 5 on page 2. What we did not do is the third pasuk, the last pasuk, which we need to start addressing now. Vayivorech Elokim es yom ha-shvi'i vayikadesh oso. Okay, so we would translate that most literally as Hashem blessed the seventh day. Vayikadesh oso, and he sanctified it. Kivot shavas mikol melachto asher bro lukim lazus. Because it was on that day that he stopped. It was on that day that he rested. So we raised the question, and I'll try to address it. What does it mean? How would you translate it? If a child comes home from school and says, what does it mean that Hashem blessed the seventh day? What does that look like? What does it mean that he sanctified the seventh day? What does that look like, to be blessed and to be sanctified? What's the difference between the two of them? Why are there two of these different things? So let's address, this is going to be an introduction to our next series of Psukim, but we have what to talk about first. Let's start with Rashi. Always like to start with Rashi. Rashi's on the source number 6. We did the first Rashi there, so the last two bolded on the page, on the bottom of page 2. Vayivarech vayikadesh. Says Rashi, what does it mean that Hashem blessed the seventh day? Bercho baman. He blessed it with man. Shekol yemos ha-shavua yoyred lahem omer la-golgoylas. Because as we all know, all week long, the man fell in the midbar, exactly in one omer per person. Omer is a certain measure of man that fell. Uvashishi lechem mishneh. And on the sixth day, a double portion fell on Shabbos. So it was blessed. How was Shabbos blessed? It was blessed in that its double portion fell, not on Shabbat, on Friday got a double portion. And Vayikadesh, says Rashi, V'kiddusho b'man, how was it sanctified? Also with the man. Shelo yorod klal b'Shabbos. That it never fell. Man never fell on Shabbos. V'hamikra kosuv al ha'osid. So what does that mean, hamikra kosuv al ha'osid? What osid means? In the future. So what does it mean that on the seventh day of creation, Hashem blessed and sanctified it? Nothing happened then, Rashi says, but that in the future it would be blessed and sanctified, that there'd be a double portion on Friday and nothing would fall on Shabbos. The Ramban does not like that Rashi is interpreting this pasuk during the 7 days of creation as a reference to something which is going to happen 2,000 years later. So the Ramban on the top of page 3, the second paragraph there in the box, Vayivarech Vayikadesh, he quotes Rashi, the end of the first line, B'shem HaGoin Rav Sadi, quotes Rav Sadi Goin, who says a little differently, but same basic idea. Amru Shehabracha VeHakiddush Al HaShoimrim. What does it mean that he blessed and sanctified? So Rav Sadi Goin learns who was blessed and sanctified, not the seventh day. It's a reference to the Shomrim. Who are the Shomrim? That's us, those who observe Shabbos. Sheyihiyu Mevurachim U'Mekudashim. That they should be blessed and sanctified. So Rashi and Rav Sadia both learn that being blessed and being sanctified is a reference to something which is going to happen in the future, not about the day itself. Either that the man would fall twice on Friday, not on Shabbos. People who keep Shabbos, and the Ramban does not like. Ein mashma hakosuv sheyedaber al. Why can't we translate the pasuk about the seventh day itself, not about the future? People who will keep Shabbos. So he quotes two ideas: one from the Ibn Ezra, and then one on Divrei Kabbalah. So Rabbi Avram, at the end of the second line there, I hope you see where I'm holding in the box, in the second paragraph. Rabbi Avram in the Ibn Ezra writes, Ki abrocha tosefes tov. What does it mean that Hashem blessed Shabbos? He gave an abundance of goodness. She is chadesh hagufos, yisron koach bitoldos. That our physical bodies should be yischadesh, should be renewed with an abundance of strength. And when Shabbos comes, you should feel renewed, refreshed. Uvineshama yisaron, and an additional soul as well, spiritually, with the yisron asecha, with the ability of to spiritually, with intellect. The kadosh social awasabo malacha kishara yamim, the dibru bazan nachon ma'aminim bo. Those who believe in Shabbos understand that what he's saying is true. Ki ein zem musag behergesh lana. Can't really feel that, but there's something different about Shabbos. That's what the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban likes. Something different physically and spiritually, and vayivarech vayikadesh, that the day becomes sanctified in the way that it affects us. This is really a reference, if you look at the Gemara Maseches and source number 9, the Gemara Maseches Beitza says, Om Rabbi Shim ben Lakish, Neshama Yiseira, No Seina Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'odom Erev Shabbos. When Shabbos comes in, there's a Neshama Yiseira. Whatever level of Neshama a person has, Shabbos comes, there's like an extra level of neshama that fills a person. Ula motzoi Shabbos notlin osahimena. And that depression that you have on Motzei Shabbos, that depression is not because you know you need to get back to the emails and to the texting and to all that. No, the depression is that, like, I was on a high and now it's being taken from me. And that's the language of Shavas Vayinafash, Kevan Shavas Voy of the Nefesh. And the Gemara Darshan's Vayinafash, like when the Nefesh leaves, like, oy, of the Nefesh, I feel the loss. I feel the loss, which is, of course, one of the minhagim that we have of making a bracha on Besamim, Amotzei Shabbos, is to soothe the soul over the loss that we experience at the end of a Shabbos. Rashi says an amazing thing. What? How would you try, if I asked you, what do you think a neshama yisera feels like? What is a neshama yisera? Shabbos comes, and I have this neshama yisera. What would you do with your neshama yisera? How about that? Like if you could say, like, I now know, I have a neshama yisera, I have this extra neshama, what should I do because I have that? So I would have thought the answer would have been something very spiritual. That's what I would have thought. I'm going to, like, daven really well on Shabbos. I'm going to learn. I'm going to get through, like, 3 pages of reading something without falling asleep, whatever the case may be. That's what I would do. Rashi says in the box, in box 9, source 9, Neshama Yisera, Rochav Lev, an expansion of your heart, Leminucha Ulesimcha, that you should have the ability of rest and joy, Vilios Pasuach Lirvacha, that it should be literally mean open wide. Now listen to this. V'yochal v'yishteh v'ein nafsho katza alav. So that you can eat and drink and not be disgusted by that. That's an amazing comment. We're going to have to get back to this as we develop this guy. What is that? Normally, when a person overeats, nafsho katz alav, like the neshama and the guf are at odds with each other. Always. We're always battling neshama guf. Neshama wants us to pursue spiritual treats, and the guf wants us to pursue donuts and cookies and bagels. And there's a constant tension between guf and neshama, always. And so normally when a person indulges in eating, so the neshama is like, stop already. I'm not even talking about the fact that your guf is telling you to stop. I'm not talking about it. The neshama is saying, enough. Enough of the mundane. Enough of the physical. Can we focus on something important? Says Rashi, do you know what a neshama yisera on Shabbos allows you to do? You can eat and drink v'ein nafsho katza alav. Now, this is going to address a question which... let's just do it now. So there's no start and end. It's just so big. So you say, like, one of the oddities of Shabbos, one of the greatest oddities of all of the day, there's, like, a lot of questions we can ask. I can't remember if we actually started this with this question or not on day one, is, if I said, define for me the most salient point of a Shabbos experience for an Orthodox Jew, and the answer would, for sure, top three would be food. Right? No question. Right? If some of the, you know, that proverbial person on the plane is like, so tell me about Shabbos. Could you possibly explain what Shabbos is like without talking about food, right? It's impossible. Because that's what a Shabbos experience is. We have 3 meals. Big Friday night meal, and a big lunch, without even talking about the Kiddush, and we eat. It's a strange thing. On this spiritual day, the day that we're testifying to Hashem, the day we want everything to stop so we could hear Hashem's presence in this world, we're bringing in the King. And, like, all we do is talk about cholent. It just seems odd. And then Rashi tells us that we have a neshama yisera. Amazing. The Gemara tells us the neshama yisera. So I would have said, great, we're going to say Tehillim all day. We're going to learn all day. Rashi says, no, you know what you could do with your neshama yisera? You can eat and not have your neshama be disgusted with you. What? So Reb Shimshon Pinkus writes as follows. On this idea that we started with, Shabbos is a personality. We welcome in the Shabbos. It should be a day like Yom Kippur. If it were up to us, we would say it should be like Yom Kippur. Except when Shabbos is here, Hashem says, I want to enjoy. I want you to enjoy with me. I want you to host me. He tells a mashal. Imagine if a person would be invited into the Chafetz Chaim's house. You're in Radin 150 years ago, and the Chafetz Chaim, you're passing through. The Chafetz Chaim says, come, you'll join. You got stuck here for Shabbos. Come, you'll join me for Shabbos lunch. You're sitting with the Chafetz Chaim, and he serves you, whatever they serve you, a meager piece of chicken. and you say, "Chvado, like, I don't eat. I really, you know, I don't." Like, no, thank you. They know. The Chofetz Chaim offered you a piece of chicken. Your response is, "Thank you very much, and I'll enjoy." Because when you're a guest of someone significant, even though you may or may not want to be an ascetic and say, like, no, I don't really have a little pasta melech, a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, I'm fine. That's nice. You can do that all you want. If you're a guest in someone's house and they made a meal for you and they serve you, your job as a guest is to eat and to tell them how delicious it was and how much you enjoyed being there. So Pinchas says, this idea of eating on Shabbos sounds so backwards. That's not how we would have experienced the day. We would have made it into Yom Kippur if it were up to us. We wanted to have a spiritual day. Except, we greeted a queen. We got dressed up, Bowie Lekras Shabbos Malkasah. And we brought that queen into our home. And Hashem says, we're going to see where we see it in the Psukim. Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem. And today, you're going to enjoy. We're going to make a meal. We're going to celebrate. And it's because of the personality of Shabbos, because of the presence of Shabbos. And Hashem says, eat. Celebrate. We're going to make a geshmak. That's how we celebrate. That is how human beings enjoy. I don't know if there anyone here at Young Israel Woodmere on Motzei Shabbos. I gave the whole shmuz. We'll try to fit this in at another time. I'm not going to do it right now. That is a real way that human beings, the Ramban just in one word, the Ramban describes when we finish a mesechta, we want to make a siyum. How do we celebrate a siyum? With food. With food. That is how a Jew celebrates. Where did we get that from? Where is the idea that because I would have thought, if you're wrong, I finish a mesechta, I invite my friends, what should I do with them? I should teach them. I just finished learning, I want to celebrate. Come, let's gather together. Let me teach you some of that which I learned. That would be an appropriate thing to do. Have you ever been to a siyum without food? Would you ever go to a siyum without food? Of course not. Where does this come from? So the Ramban writes, it's from a Gemara. And that source of the Gemara is Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech had a dream. And in his dream, Hashem comes to him and says, young boy, you're about to become king. Melech al Yisrael, I'll give you whatever you want. You tell me, you name it, it's yours. Everything, anything, it's yours. Shlomo HaMelech, of course, we know, decides wisdom. He wants to become the wisest person, and Hashem grants it to him. Picture the following. You are that person, but you weren't given a choice. You were told you're going to become the wisest person. You have a dream. Hashem comes to you in a dream and says, I've chosen you to make you the wisest of all men, of all women. You're it. You're going to be that person. You wake up and you're like, what a strange dream that was. And then you figure something out, like, oh, it's true. It's true. I'm the smartest person. I just became the wisest person. What's the first thing you're going to do? First thing you're going to do at that moment. You just realized you are indeed the smartest person in the world. So you don't have to tell me what you actually would do. Shlomo HaMelech wakes up. Umiyad. Asa mishte la'avadav. He makes a party. And he celebrates with achilo ushtia that he just became the wisest person. Because when you celebrate even wisdom, we're human beings. That's who we are. We celebrate with food. That's how we celebrate. And mikan, from here, the Gemara derives from the fact that Shlomo HaMelech made a party for having the wisdom to be able to accomplish whatever he's going to accomplish. Mikan asa siyum, asa mishta b'siyumo shel Torah. That's what we do on Simchas Torah. It's what we do on a Mesechta. We celebrate with food. Spiritual concepts. All of this to say, when Hashem says, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming. You're going to greet me. You're going to escort me. You're going to feel my presence in a way, because vayachulu ha-shamayim, vayishbos, you're going to be shoveis like I was to testify to that. Well, we're going to sit around. You're going to be moaning and groaning that you're hungry, that you're thirsty. No. We're going to have a party. You're going to sit down three times. You're going to have a meal, basar, vidagim, yayin, the works. The works. We're going to see in halacha. You spend more on Shabbos than on any of that. That's how you celebrate. Rashi learns the neshama yisera that you have on Shabbos is to allow you to enjoy eating without being spiritually disgusted by the food. Because normally we are. Normally the neshama doesn't want, food again, you have to eat. I want to be busy with important things. Why are you always eating? That's what the neshama is always saying. Not on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos the eating is greeting the queen, is celebrating. That's all part of it. Anyway, that is the Ramban, Vayivorech Vayikadesh, that he blessed the day by granting us the neshama yisera to be able to have Shias Chadesh Agufo, says he's quoting from the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban, going back to source number 7, says, V'ha emes, he's quoting from Divrei Kabbalah, so I'm just going to read and translate and not get into it because I don't understand. It says, Ki habracha b'yom ha-Shabbos me'ein habrachos. The bracha of Shabbos is like from the me'ein, as part of all of the brachos, v'hu yisod olam. Like the foundation of all the world is the bracha that comes down to the world on Shabbos. V'yikadesh oso ki yimshoch min ha-kodesh, because it's pulled, it's directed from that sanctity. If you'll understand this, which we don't, that we quoted, that we're going to become, that somehow we become the partner of Shabbos, the Meshicha, the pulling of the Kedusha. Well, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so that's the Vayivarech Vayikadesh. So what I want to do is get started on the next section. We're running out of time. Let's get started on the next section. So the first, there are four, as we mentioned, four major places in the Torah where the Torah talks about Shabbos. The first, of course, is Shabbos Bereishis. We discussed Vayichulu, Vayishbos, Vayivorech, Vayikadesh. Rashi talks about the man. The Ramban doesn't like it. Why are we talking about the man on Shabbos Bereishis? That's going to happen in the future. It must be this intrinsic sanctity of the day to bless those with an neshama yisera, a hischadshus haguf, the renewal of the body, and somehow it's moshech kedusha from the me'ena brachos and the source of all the world, which is, well, we'll just leave that as, we'll leave that as that. Okay. This Rashi, who understands from the Shabbos Bereishis, is going to touch on the man, will introduce us to our next major topic, which is the Parsha of the man. The Parsha of the man, which is now, let me just type one last thing. So when we finish our first section of Shabbos Bereishis, as we mentioned, what's missing in Shabbos Bereishis? There's nothing to do with us. Shabbos Bereishis is about Hashem's creating the world. 6 days active, seventh day he rests. In that seventh day, he creates menucha, the idea of stopping, the idea of creating, to testifying to his presence because he stopped, and then blessing this day with all of the special, unique qualities of Shabbos, which we will talk more about. What eventually now we're going to get to is our relationship with Shabbos, because that we don't have. Friday night, with those three psukim of Vayichulu Hashemayim, is just an intrinsic description of Shabbos itself. Okay, where is the first place that we encounter Shabbos explicitly in the psukim? There is another place, which you'll remind me, we'll get to, where it's less explicit, but the next explicit place is in the man. Let's set the context for a moment before we start learning some of the psukim. Bnei Yisrael gets through the Yamsuf. We finish in Parshas B'Shalach. We cross through. When we get through, Miriam leads the women in Shira Sayam. And then immediately after that, what's the first thing that happens? Anyone remember? We complain. It's a good, right? It's a good guess, right? We complain. What are we complaining about? We have no water. A fair complaint, right? Rashi always divides up the complaints that we find of the Jews in the Midbar, whether or not they're kiroi or shalo kiroi, were they an appropriate complaint or an inappropriate complaint, which is separate than the way that there's the what we're complaining about, good or bad, and then there's the way that we complained, appropriate or inappropriate. But a complaint about water, Rashi says, is inappropriate. You don't have anything to drink. So they travel for 3 days and they don't have any water. So they complain about the water. So Hashem shows them Mara. In Mara is the place of the bitter water. They get to water. It's bitter. They say, this doesn't help us. We can't drink it. Hashem says to Moshe to throw a tree in. He throws in the tree. The water becomes sweet and they have what to drink. Great. Things are good. Except then what happens right after that, immediately after that, so it's like four psukim after Shira Siyam, they want food. They want food. They're hungry. And they want meat. Where is the meat? Where is the food? This is terrible, Moshe. We're all going to die in this desert. You took us out here. Now we have water after 3 days. But water, you can't live on water alone. Where is the goods? Where is the meat? And where is the bread that we miss so dearly from Mitzrayim? Okay, there are a lot of psukim in source number 17. It's long, but it's important. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to run through in the time that we have left, which is not a lot, today, as many of the psukim as we can, and we'll set up what we're going to be, what we'll start with, Mirtz Hashem, next week. So this is going to be to learn and to raise some questions. So the parsha goes as follows. I'm on source number 17. We'll start from the top. Vayisu me'ilim v'yavo kol das b'nei Yisrael midbar sin. And I'm going to jump around a little bit. Pasuk beis, vayilonu kol das b'nei Yisrael ha'moshev yal aron. What do they complain about? Pasuk gimel, mi yitain musenu b'yad Hashem b'yaretz Mitzrayim. Would have been better if Hashem would have killed us out in Mitzrayim. Because b'shivteinu al sir ha-basar b'achleinu lechem lesova, there in Mitzrayim we had pots of meat and bread to our satiation. But now ki hotzeisim osanim al hamidbar hazeh lo hamisas kol hakol hazeh berav. Now we're all going to starve to death here in the desert. This is terrible, Moshe. Okay, pasuk dal v'yom Hashem l'Moshe. Now this is important. Who's speaking and who's he speaking to in pasuk dalad? To? To Moshe. Now again, the people complain to Moshe. This is Hashem speaking to Moshe. We're going to see a number of conversations. Always note who's the speaker and who's being spoken to. So this is Hashem speaking to Moshe. Hineni mamtir lochem lechem min hashamayim. They want food? I'll give them food. How am I going to do it? I'm going to rain down bread from the heavens. V'yatzoham v'loktu dvar yom b'yomo. And the nation will go and collect dvar yom b'yomo. How would you translate that? Whatever they need for the day. Dvar yom, the needed thing for that day. Bi yomo, they'll collect for each day. Lima'an anasenu, in order that I test them. Hayelech v'torasi imlo. So the very first introduction to month. We are going to have two concepts that are going to be intertwined in this entire parsha that we're reading together. One is the parsha of man, and the other is the parsha of Shabbos man. They're tied in. Man for 6 days has its own lessons, its own importance. And then within that important parsha of man, we have how Shabbos is going to fit in. But right now, there's nothing to do about Shabbos. The people are hungry. They're complaining about food. And Hashem says, I'm going to rain bread down from the heaven. Why? Leman anasenu. I'm going to test him with this bread so that the first time Hashem mentions man, it's in the context of it's going to be a test whether or not they follow in my ways or not. V'haya bayom hashishi. Who's still speaking here? To. And it will be on the sixth day. V'hechinu es asher yaviu. They will prepare that which they will bring into their homes. V'haya mishneh. Alashir yulketu yom yom. And it will be double. Rashi points out, we'll see, that it sounds like they're going to bring in the same amount that they normally do. V'hayamishna. And it will become double in their home from what they normally get. Do I have 2 more minutes? Or?
Sure.
Okay, let's just finish one more paragraph. V'yomer Moshe al Aaron kol b'nei Yisrael. Okay, now who's the speaker? And he's speaking to? Now, to B'nai Yisrael. Now, what does Moshe know at this point is what's going to happen? Moshe knows right now, starting on Sunday, man is going to fall. Every day they're going to collect. It's going to be a big test, this idea of the man falling. And then what's going to happen on Friday? There's going to be some type of a double portion. Did Hashem mention to Moshe that nothing would fall on Shabbos?
No,
just that on Friday, it would be Mishneh, there'll be some type of doubling on Friday. Moshe and Aaron gather B'nai Yisrael and they say, Erevidatem, at night you're going to know that Hashem took you out. Uboker Urisem, and you'll see in the morning the honor of Hashem when he heard your complaints. V'nachnumo, why are you complaining to us? It's not us. How is this going to happen? Moshe explains, V'yomer Moshe, B'seis Hashem lechem, B'erev basar. At night, he's going to send you meat. V'lechem baboker lesova. And in the morning, you're going to get your bread. That's going to be in the form of the man. At night, you're going to get these quail are going to come in. The meat's going to come in at night. Because Hashem heard your complaints that you've been complaining. Pasuk tet. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon. Moshe now speaks to Aharon. Emor al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Kivu lefnei Hashem. Come close. Vayihi kidaber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Vayifnu al midbar. And Hashem's presence Hashem's presence appears. Okay, what has Moshe not reported to the Jewish people about the system of meat at night and bread in the morning? Didn't mention anything about Friday, anything about Shabbos, just that you're going to have bread in the morning and you're going to have meat at night. Okay, we're in the middle of this, but I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I'm sorry. Okay, so next week, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to pick up with the rest of this parsha of the Mun. We have a lot of questions and issues addressing